Hi everyone, this is Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen. This show's for anyone who longs to take charge of their life, to create more success, accomplish their dreams, and to live in inspiring ways to be powerfully visible and visibly powerful. I'll be sharing stories with you from my own career and experiences, from leading engineering teams for the last 20 years, and also from interactions I have been blessed to have with people I've met from around the world. I want to give you the tools, techniques, strategies, and inspiration so you can be the best you. You can achieve the success you desire, personally and professionally. Being authentic, confident, and empowered are the keys to success and the life that you want. You can have the courage to be seen. Hi, I'm Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen, the show that's focusing on helping you achieve the success that you desire. I will share with you the tools and techniques, stories and strategies, so you can have the courage that you need in your life. You can be authentic, confident, and empowered. These are the keys to achieving success. So I want to start today with a story, and it's from a while ago. I was attending a networking event in college. You know, and like most poor college students, when they offer free food, you usually say yes. I wasn't really sure about going to this. My friends thought, hey, this would be a good idea. And so we went to this ice cream social, and I was not comfortable there. It just did not seem to fit me. I didn't really understand the point of the organization. It seemed very, I'd have to just say, like fluffy. I was in engineering, right? We worked hard. It was math and science and concrete kind of what we're doing. And this organization just did not appeal to me at all. So I just kind of decided, you know, then and there that I wasn't going to be part of it. I just kind of stayed away, and I didn't need this in my life, right? I'm going to work hard and achieve everything that I wanted. What would surprise you probably today is I was at a Society of Women Engineers event. So if you had to turn back the clock and think, you know, 25 years ago is when, or probably maybe a little bit more, of when this happened and the world that we were in, right? I graduated with three women. It definitely was a different world than it is today. And I was trying to be the best engineer that I could. I wanted to be respected for my intellect. I didn't want, you know, any handouts because I was female. I'd say a poor connection that, like, if I was part of this group that focused it on women, then in some way that would take away from what I was trying to work hard to earn in terms of respect and being the best engineer that I could. And I have to admit, I carried this kind of viewpoint and thought forward with me for quite a while. At one point in GE, when I was working there, I was asked to help lead and start up a new hub of the GE Women's Network at our site, because we were acquired by GE and GE had this women's network. And I'll be honest, I didn't want to do it. You know, this attitude that I had from back in this ice cream social that I went to in college and not wanting to be part of like women's focused events, I really didn't want to do this. However, I also felt like I didn't have a choice. And when you're asked sometimes to do things by higher up people in the business, that you have to say yes. So I did. And I became part of the team that set up a women's network hub at our site. I have to admit though, it was really a good thing. Even though it took me a little while to warm up to the idea, it taught me the value of a network. It taught me the value of, you know, women supporting women, and even men supporting women and women supporting men. But this, you don't have to go it alone, right? There's this value of having the connection, the value of having the network. I've met some wonderful people through the women's network. And luckily, you know, I did carry them, you know, forever forward, even my dislike of the Society of Women Engineers. So, you know, what about you? How do you feel towards these kind of organizations and affinity groups. Maybe where you work, they might have a women's network, or some of them have like Asian Pacific Forum or a Black focused network, LGBTQ, or veterans. There's a lot of different affinity groups that I've heard about over the years in different organizations. And some people like them. Some people love having part of them. Some people are like, hey, we don't need this. And I just question, you know, for you and in your life, have you been part of these type of organizations? If you are for them, why? And if not, you know, why do you have those feelings? Do you have feelings like I had early in my career where I thought maybe I just didn't need that support, that it would reflect poorly on me even of somehow I wasn't doing as good job if I was getting recognition as part of Society of Women Engineers. It's totally wrong attitude that I had early on, but you know, we do make flawed decisions and we have to learn from that. March 8th was International Women's Day. And that's why I'm telling this story. You know, here is a day around the world that is celebrated for women. And actually in the US, March as a whole is Women's History Month. And so today I'd like to talk a little bit about this day and this month and why is it important? What is the history behind it? And what can you do to help support women, you know, at this time? Because it is a very important time. It's great for reflecting. So the whole point of International Women's Day is to celebrate the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women, but at the same time, highlighting some of the challenges that they face both personally and professionally. And then they use this day as a call to action for gender parity. And if we think about today in the COVID environment, this is actually even more so important than probably past years, because COVID has really taken a hit on women and some of the progress that we've made with women in terms of equal pay. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, a lot of women had even pulled out of the workforce to take care of kids as daycares have closed, homeschooling, taking care of maybe parents. And there's just been a lot of impact on women because of COVID. So I think this year is even extra important to recognize some of the challenges that women have today. So this day goes back in history. And it's interesting, as I researched it, different sites and different organizations use different dates. They all kind of eventually agree, but what we know is it went back a long time. Somewhere around 1909, 1911, on some pages, that looks like the history is, but there were various things like the Society Party of America designated this day because there was a garment worker strike, right? People were trying to get equal pay. Many of the times, or equal working conditions. And around the world, you can find in the early 1900s, demonstrations of over a million women is what I kind of read, demanding right to vote, right to hold office, sex discrimination, equal pay. Just there's many examples. And it all tend to be, a lot of this happened in March. There's some court cases were in March. There's a lot of things that kind of settled around March, which is kind of interesting when it comes to like women's rights around the world in the history of the world. Around 1967, United Nations recognized International Women's Day. So in some places, this is a big deal. It's like a national holiday. And in other countries, they don't even recognize it at all. What I've noticed probably in my career over time, the day has become larger and larger in the US, and you hear more about it. I don't remember earlier in my career it being actually a big day. I don't remember celebrating, even though I was in an international company. But over time that we've seen it more and more and become larger. I did get some stats, though, from United Nations, which I think is important to recognize, kind of why this is a big deal, that there's only three countries in the whole world that have 50% or more women in parliament. You think about it, you know, we have 50% or so of people are women, and there's only three countries in the entire world. There's only 22 nations that have women as heads of state. So because some call it president and different things, we'll call it, you know, heads of state, so it can be more neutral for around the whole world. There are 119 countries that have never had a female head of state. The United States is one of them, right? But 119, that's an awful lot. So at current progress, it would take until 2063 to hit gender parity in parliament, and 2150 to actually have a head of state, you know, being female in all countries. That's really kind of like almost way too long, almost impossible to think about those type of dates of when we actually can do it, if we're at the current progress in trying to make gender parity. So this year's theme for International Women's Day is Choose to Challenge. I love this theme, Choose to Challenge. A challenged world, they say, is an alert world. And from a challenge comes change. So it's all choose to challenge. Because it does take all of us to challenge the norms and to make a difference, to call out inequality when we see it. One of the reasons we don't make as much progress in things like gender parity or some of the racial injustice is because we aren't willing to challenge some of what we see. People keep in silence when they see something go on. Yeah, it's not as bad as actually making that joke or dismissing someone's idea. But if you don't ever speak up for someone else that doesn't have the ability, you're not helping make the change. So I do ask you, as you think about, as we talk today, you know, step up and be a little bit more vulnerable. Be willing to challenge the status quo when you see it, because that's what's going to really take to change the rate at what we're doing when it comes to trying to have more gender parity. When we think about March as Women's History Month, it was interesting because it actually started out as Women's History Week, or like Week of Recognizing Women, picking the week of International Women's Day. And this was like local in the United States, and various different parts of the United States had this week. And then in 1980, President Carter issued a president proclamation declaring the week of March 8th National Women's History Week. So now it was a week, 1 week long. And I really liked his message. It said, from the first settlers who came to our shores, from the first American Indian families who befriended them, men and women have worked together to build this nation. Too often, the women were unsung, and sometimes their contributions went unnoticed. But the achievements, leadership, courage, strength, and love of the women who built America is as vital as that of the men whose names we know so well. So that was the first like proclamation that we should have this National Women's History Week. And then in 1987, Congress passed a law saying March was going to be National Women's History Month. And then ever since 1995, each president every year issues a proclamation designating March as Women's History Month. So it's kind of interesting, the history, like where it can start from a day and then it's a week and it's local, but then eventually we have National History Month. So if you want to think about March 8th as International Women's Day, and what do we do to challenge the status quo, where we think of, hey, all month, let's think about the women leaders that helped develop the United States. Either way, this is a great topic for us to talk about. So I want to talk about a little bit about some women that I think about when I think of, hey, what's some of those big leaders when you think of National History Month. The first one, and I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about, I have to think about Sally Ride. And she was such an idol of mine growing up. And that pioneer, right, of setting a big goal, hey, I'm going to be an astronaut, and achieving where really no women have ever gone, right, for being the first one. Another woman that I have a tremendous amount of respect for and very thankful for a lot of what I know, the advantage I have in my career actually is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And if you look at some of what she did in fighting for justice, for gender in some of the court cases, and then as a Supreme Court justice, the history is just simply amazing. That when I did some research of what she did and how she really helped women have the rights that they have today to work. And so very thankful for what she did. And then the last one I think we have to highlight is Kamala Harris. Like the fact that we now have a female vice president, and it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, just the fact that we have this strong female leader now as part of the United States is a great progress, for women here. And I'm sure one day we'll have a female president and can cross that one off the United Nations list. But in addition to these big names of women, that it's great to understand the history and how they help grow our country and grow the progress of women around the world. I also like to always take a moment and think about the everyday women that help us personally. You know, how about your mom or your grandma? You know, I'm sure that's the first woman that you look up to and you learn so much from. Maybe there's a teacher in your life that helped you at an early age. Some of our teachers, you know, we remember the rest of our life. It's amazing how much influence they have on our life. And then also, is there a female at work that was a mentor or a coach that you would say, you know, was key to the achieving whatever you have in your life? You know, I talked a little bit about COVID earlier, and unfortunately, the pandemic has caused us to lose quite a bit of the progress that we've made in gender parity. A lot of women have lost jobs. Many have pulled back from the workforce to take care of children. They say that we've actually regressed all the way back to 2017. That's how many years of progress that we have lost because of COVID. That there's only 30 women in the S&P 500 that are CEOs of their company. In Europe, it's not any better. If you look at the largest 668 companies, 48 of those CEOs are women. So it's 6% both in the US and Europe. That in the Russell 3000, there's only 23% of board members are women. It is improving. But, we just have a lot of progress that we need to make there. There's a Bank of America report, which I thought was interesting. And it said if we had full gender parity, we would add $28 trillion in global gross domestic product by 2025. Companies do better when they have diversity. And that's a fact that's been shown. And so there's reasons why. It's not just that, hey, this is being fair and it's being nice, but there's really actually economic benefits to companies by having diversity in their leadership, in their boards. What we found is, though, if you look at the research that, many times, not just are there not enough women, many times women are working part-time. They may be not as likely to become managers. They say the salary of women many times is 79% of what it is for men. And this is a big deal for multiple reasons, that if men and women are doing the exact same job and then say at the exact same level, that on average, they should make the same amount. I think most people kind of agree with that in concept. And I've led a lot of teams and I've noticed over time, this actually doesn't happen. And it's not necessarily even intentional, but maybe it is that women don't strive to get promoted as much. And when you take on a new task, sometimes you can get, you know, a salary bump instead of just getting a standard merit increase. So over time, salaries do spread out from one another. Why this is such a big impact is a lot of times your base salary is based on then, like if you get a bonus, it might be a percent of that. Your retirement, you put a certain percent away of your salary, you know, for retirement. If your base salary is low for years and years, that's going to compound, you know, over and over. And you can do the math of what the 10% increase in your first year would equate to just by having merit increases based on that salary, by having bonuses based on that, having your retirement based on that. Over the course of your career, it's huge. And so now what we're finding is many times women at retirement just don't have the same amount of funding, right, to live a retirement. And they many times live longer. So it compounds the problem. It's something that we have to solve. And I encourage everyone, when you take a new job, to make sure you ask and negotiate, you know, more money. Now, it doesn't mean it's always appropriate and you're going to always get paid, but you might have to at least try. And, you know, I hire a lot of engineers and sometimes we can pay people more. Sometimes we know we're paying the going rate, but I don't ever hold it against anyone for asking for more money. And we can have that conversation of why it's appropriate, the salary that that we're offering or not. And we can go from there. So it is important. And that's why it's so important to have the discussion. I think taking time off, though, for women to have children is starting to balance out a little bit, because a lot more companies are also offering leave for dads. I know in my last company, we offered dads 12 weeks of leave. So that's a significant amount of time. And I had engineers taking, you know, 12 weeks off. And so then that's the case that now you don't have nearly as much disparity between men and women taking off with childhood. But not all companies are that progressive yet, but I hope we do get there. So I want to take a little bit of time to talk about some things that you can do to support women, to help yourself maybe and celebrate, you know, International Women's Day. Because diversity, like I said, one, it's important. It's the right thing to do. It's the right to pay people fairly. It helps businesses actually financially do better. And then as an engineering leader, I think diversity is just a key to having innovation, and you need to have that diversity of thought. So I'm just a key champion when it comes to diversity. The first thing I'm going to encourage you to do is tell your story. Whatever that might be vulnerable. Let people know, you know, life's not perfect. My story about the Society of Women Engineers, it's not something I'm proud of. I made a mistake, you know, early on. And, but now, you know, fully support and want to be a visible female leader. But tell your story to others. It helps people connect with you, and it helps them admit whatever challenges that they're having in their life. The second thing I ask you to do is look at how can you proactively support others. Maybe you see somebody being spoken over in a meeting. Like they might have an idea, but there's never a break in the conversation. You know, you could interrupt, kind of like, hey, Sally looks like she has something to say. But help people out if you're noticing that. Maybe, you know, Sally then had an idea, but someone else then tried to steal it or make it seem like their own. You know, kind of point that out. Don't let that happen in meetings. You know, another thing that I see often, especially with women, like in a big meeting, they might take a seat at the back of the room or on the side, or because a lot of times there's not enough room at the table for everybody. But if you see that and the person should be at the table, encourage them to join you. Say, hey, you know, maybe move people around. Like, a lot of times you could fit one or two more chairs, you know, at the table. I know we're not necessarily doing that today with all this Zoom, but we're going to get back into the office. So step up and say those things. You know, make sure that people know that they should sit at the table and be visible. Another thing that I really try to do is make sure employees understand the flexible work arrangements that we have. You know, I was lucky when my son, who has special needs, was born, that work presented me a very flexible work arrangement. I wasn't going to ask for it. And so now when you know, I have like new mothers, I make sure they know, hey, let us know what you need. We're going to work with you. So that way you can continue doing your job and raise your kid. And I tell them my story. I encourage you to be a champion and a sponsor of women. You know, mentor them, help them get that next role. A lot of times people, they need someone to help pull them up. And so if you have a chance, take a risk and try to be that sponsor. But also share that tough message when it's needed. Sometimes women, they think they're going to get a promotion, but there's something holding them back. Make sure if you can share with them what they really need to do so they can get that promotion. I encourage you to post on LinkedIn and call out women that have been memorable in your life and been those leaders. That it's just great because that way other people, you know, and it builds that kind of social network and community. A couple other things that you can do, you know, you can donate to women's charities. You can research women's issues. Attend virtual events. There's a lot now like that networking events and supporting women, you know, in a virtual environment now that we're in COVID. But one of the most important things that you could do is ask questions. You know, ask, it could be leaders above you. It could be, you know, entry-level engineers on your team. If you're a male, ask a female, hey, what challenges do you actually face? How do you feel? Do you see that there are areas at work that we could do better to support you? Because we don't have all the answers. I only have the answers, you know, from the people I talk to, the research I do, and my own experience. But if we sit and ask and listen to others and what do they need, what support do they need, maybe they don't need anything other than to know that other people support them. Sometimes it's the biggest thing you can do is just lending an ear and let people know that they're heard. So, you know, as we celebrate International Women's Day and Women's History Month, it's a great time to think about the people that paved the way in front of us, that allow us to achieve what we are today. And then who can we reach down to or behind us and help lift, you know, them and put them on our shoulders to achieve even greater things that we can. So I hope you have enjoyed this. You know, we can only be ourselves. And I have learned through embracing, you know, being that female leader that, not trying to compartmentalize it, but really being authentic of who I am has brought me so much more joy in life. I encourage you to check out my website, couragebeseen.com. There you can find out my contact information and my coaching program. You can follow me on Facebook and social media where I post inspirational messages. And if you enjoy this, I encourage you to subscribe so that way you get notified when we have our next show. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you've been inspired to take action on at least one thing starting today. To learn more, check out couragetobeseen.com. There you'll find my blog and additional resources. Including, you can download a copy of 10 Ways to Live a More Courageous Life. Thanks again for listening, and make sure you tune in next time to learn additional ways to have the courage to be seen in your own life.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.